Welcome to Faith and Victory Church, an active, non-denominational Christian church in Auburn, Washington. A warm, casual environment where everyone is welcomed, with a great kids ministry, live worship music, and pastors Matt and Crystal Krichunas. Faith and Victory Church is all about the Bible and worshiping Jesus. You're invited to visit one of our services in person, Sundays at 9 and 11. But for now, thanks for joining us here for this Spirit-filled message.
Amen. Let's just start with a word of prayer. Father God, I just thank you and praise you for tonight, God. I thank you for this time, Father. I thank you for this people here, God. I pray that we have ears to hear the word you have for us tonight, God, that we would just take it down into our spirit, God, to bring forth fruit for your kingdom, for your glory, God. And we just give you all praise, all glory, all honor in Jesus' name. Has anyone ever, like, stated something really obvious to you? Right? They're like, hey, did you know your hair was in a bun? And you're like, really? Man, you're Sherlock Holmes. Wow, right? Kids are the greatest at this, right? They're the greatest at the stating the obvious, right? They're like, wow, Pastor Jay, did you not have purple shoes? Right? But, you know, when you get behind that, there's usually something more to it, right? They either have purple shoes themselves or, you know, you find out more to it. So tonight, we're going to talk about this scripture in Joshua 1, verses 1 and 2. And it says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Now God is telling Joshua, Moses is dead, stating the obvious. Right? I mean, Joshua knows that Moses has died. So there's a deeper meaning to what God is saying to Joshua in this. Obviously, Moses is dead. Obviously. Joshua knows that Moses is dead. There's a deeper meaning here. See, Joshua stuck in a mindset that God needed him to change. Moses was perhaps the greatest leader of Israel. I mean, he wrote most of, he wrote the first five books, right, of the Old Testament. Right, y'all know, right? Do y'all know that, right? He wrote Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Like, he wrote these, Moses did. Do y'all know who Moses is? All right, we're in good company. Right? Moses is the one that led the Israelites out of Egypt through the Red Sea, right? So all these signs and wonders, he's the one that led them in the wilderness where God fed them with manna and did miracles and signs and wonders in their sight, right? Moses was a great leader, right? And so Joshua now is going to have to follow in Moses' footsteps. Ouch is right. Right? And put that on a human level. Think about what Joshua was thinking about. I've got to fill in for this guy? Boy, how am I going to do that? See, God was calling Joshua to be a leader, but to be a different leader than Moses was. Because why? Because Joshua was different. Joshua had different gifts. Joshua had different talents. Joshua's calling was unique to him. Even though God was calling him to replace Moses and to stand up and lead Israel, Joshua was going to be different than Moses. So God is telling Joshua, Moses is dead. The first thing that this means is Joshua said, or God said to Joshua, Joshua, it's time to stop mourning. That's the first thing he's saying to him. When he says, Joshua, Moses is dead, it's time for you to rise up, it's time to stop mourning. You have to stop mourning for Moses. See, in order for Joshua to go forth and do what God was calling him to do, Joshua is going to have to stop grieving over the past. He had to stop mourning and grieving over the past. Moses was in the past. God's like, Moses is dead, Joshua. He's in the past. It's in the past. Now, in the Old Testament, God gave Israel only a certain number of days to grieve. I don't think most of us would like that. They were given 30 days to grieve. Numbers 20:29, it says, now when all the congregation saw that Aaron was dead, all the house of Israel mourned for Aaron 30 days. Deuteronomy 34:8, and the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. So the days of weeping and mourning for Moses ended. The Jewish people still follow this law today. They're giving 30 days to mourn, and then you've got to move on. See, now, we don't follow Old Testament law anymore. We don't have to follow the letter of the law, but there's a spirit behind the law that God gave us. God didn't just give the law arbitrarily. There's a spirit behind all of God's laws, and what he intended for them, for us, from them, is that there has to come a time when you stop mourning over your past. You have to stop mourning over your past at some time. Thank you, sister. I don't know how long that time is. Only God knows how long that time is. But God gives you a certain amount of time, and he says, stop mourning over your past. I need you to move on. You have to move on. Now, several years ago, our church was probably, 40 or 50 people, maybe. And there was a lady, and she was in her 60s at this time. And I had a Saturday night women's event. And at this women's event, we talked about this very thing, that at some time you have to stop mourning, right? Joyce Meyer has a great series on this. And I think I even played Joyce Meyer in this. And I said, at some time we have to stop mourning over those things in the past that have happened to us. We've got to let them go. We've got to get over them, and we've got to move on. You have to stop grieving over your past. And this lady did not like it at all that I said this to her. Now, she had been molested by her dad, okay? But she was 60 years old now, and she jumped from church to church. She never got whole. She was going to everybody trying to get help, but she never fully surrendered to God, never fully submitted to God. She even joined this domestic violence thing so she could go forward and attack her accusers, right? In a sense, it was her dad. She's attacking her accusers. She never stopped grieving for her past. She never let God heal her. She continued to pick at it, continued to open it, continued to say, you don't know what was done to me. Well, I do know. Sylvia knows. I was a victim of child molestation. I know what it's like. I understand it. At some time, you have to stop grieving over your past. You have to. God doesn't allow you to stay in your past forever. He doesn't allow you to mourn over something forever. He says it's time to stop mourning over this and move on. Moses is dead, right? It's the obvious. This thing is dead. You need to move on. You need to allow God to heal you, and you need to move on. When this happens, you will fall into victim mode. If you continue to mourn and grieve over your past, you fall into victim mode. And then you walk around as a victim your whole life. And guess what? This is not scriptural for a child of God. There is nowhere in scripture, and I challenge you to show me where in scripture that it says that you are a victim. It doesn't. It overwhelmingly says time and time again that we are more than conquerors. It says that we are victorious in a fallen world through the blood of Jesus Christ. That we can have victory over every single circumstance. When God says every single circumstance, he means every single circumstance. God does not do things halfway. He does it all the way, all the time. He tells us that we can conquer and overcome anything and everything. And that means anything and everything. It means that we can overcome that in our lives. And I realize that there were times in our life that we were a victim. I'm not saying that you were never a victim. There's times in our lives that we were victim and we were victimized. We can't change that past. You can't change what happened to you. There's things that happened to me that I had repressed memories. And I didn't even know that was possible. But I had repressed memories. I had horrible panic attacks and anxiety attacks. And ask my husband, we had a horrible several years in our marriage because I was always in the ER with a panic attack, anxiety attack. Sylvia knows about it, right? It was horrible. But I said, I am more than a conqueror through the blood of Jesus Christ. I am not a victim. I am not a victim. I refuse to allow that mindset to get into me, that I was a victim. I'm more than a conqueror. It says it time and time again. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. All things become new. All things become new. See, some of y'all don't get that. All things become new. All things become new. It means my past is under the blood. God's healing doesn't leave scars, folks. He heals wholly, he heals fully, he heals completely. If you will let him, if you will surrender to that. Romans 8:31 says, what then shall we say to these things? For if God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up before us all, how shall we not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is he that condemns? It is Christ who died, yea, rather is risen again. Right? Who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? He says, shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? No, in all these things, right? He says, for your sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. I love in the Greek that word more than conquerors is one word. It means you are a super conqueror. Super victorious, super overcomer, super conqueror. I don't know what in that whole scripture says that you are a victim or you have to live as a victim. No, it doesn't. At some point, you have to stop mourning your past. The second thing it means, Moses is dead. He said, it's time to move on. Now that you know that Moses is dead, I need you to forget your past and I need you to go. I need you to get up and I need you to move. I need you to go forth. See, God had a work for Joshua to do. I mean, you know, when you look at Joshua's life, I think Joshua almost did more than Moses did, right? Man, Joshua was a phenomenal leader and warrior for God. I mean, he's the one that came in and overtook the promised land for the children of Israel, right? Folks, and he was between 60, 70 years old at that time. He wasn't no spring chicken, you know? And he was like, okay, I can do this. I can do this. God needed Joshua's head to be right in the right place in order to be victorious. God knows how long you need to mourn. But at some point, God is going to tell you, mark my words, God is going to tell you, you need to stop mourning that. It's under the blood of Christ. You need to stop mourning that, and you need to move on. Because if you never stop mourning, you will never move on. You will be stuck in that proverbial desert in your mind your whole life. Your thinking has to change. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good, acceptable, and the perfect will of God. Right? And Pastor Matt talked about this on Sunday, the renewing of their mind. But, you know, it's linked to presenting your bodies as a living sacrifice. If you don't present your body as a living sacrifice, if you haven't surrendered yourself to the Lord, you're not going to change your thinking. They're connected. They're connected. We have to surrender our lives to God, and then we can surrender our thinking. But, you know, renewing the mind takes work on your part. God doesn't renew your mind for you. God says, you renew your mind. You're going to have to do some work here. You're going to have to renew your mind. And why must our mind be renewed? Because Proverbs tells us that as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. Right? There's other translations that says, as a man thinks, so he becomes. So whatever we think in our mind, we become in our walk. Boy, there's a lot of studies on the mind, how the mind thinks. Man, they're out there. Google some of them. You'll be able to find the mind is a very, very powerful tool in our lives. And your actions will follow your thought life. Your actions will follow your thought life. The mind is a very powerful thing. I read this book, and it was Natural Hormonal Growth Eating Plan, right? It was back when I was lifting weights, and I was trying to get real serious about lifting weights, and so I was trying to increase my growth hormone to produce more testosterone so I could build bigger muscles. Growth hormone. I'm a woman. I don't testosterone, but growth hormone. And so, so in this book, this man was talking about how we needed to start viewing food differently. He said, you know, most Americans view food like every eating experience has to be this just taste explosion in your mouth. And he said, you have to begin to view food differently. And he said for him, what he would do is that every time he ate something that was bad for him, something, you know, ice cream or cake or whatever it was, you know, he would eat that and he would think the whole time, this is bad for me. 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 Every time he'd eat something healthy, he'd think, this is good for me. This is good for me. And he said it took a long time, but he changed his mind about what he was eating. He said he would eat something that was bad for him, and automatically it tasted bad. And he started enjoying the healthy food because in his mind he told himself it was good. It was good. It was good. Right? Folks, this isn't even a Christian. This is just somebody trying to change his body with food, right? Have you ever read any of the effects of like placebos? Woo! So yeah, so I was reading this one and it was cancer patients, and I don't remember what kind of cancer they had, but it was a very painful type of cancer, and they split them in half, right? And they gave them all juice, right? It just like apple juice or something like that. But the placebo people, they told them, they said, it's not a cancer-curing thing, but it's a pill that's going to take away your pain. So he told one group they were getting medicine in their juice that was going to take away their pain. They told the other group they were, you know, just getting juice, whatever it was. I don't remember exactly. But the placebo group, it was like 98% of them had no pain after a certain number of days. There was nothing in it. And the non-placebo group, they still had pain. The only thing that changed was what people were thinking in their mind. How much more so us that have the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit in our life to change our thinking? To change the way we think about things. To change the way we see things. I mean, do you know that there are people that actually think that I feel good today no matter what's going on in them, and they feel good? And likewise, You can wake up and say, I feel sick today, and you will feel sick. Our mindsets, folks, our mind is very powerful. As we think, so we become. And so we have to control our minds. Here's the truth. You will be victorious over the things that you set your mind to be victorious over. You will be victorious over the things that you set your mind to be victorious over. Satan plays in our mind. He does. He plays in our mind all the time. It's our battlefield. And if you do not recognize the lies of the enemy, if you don't recognize the lies of the enemy, you're going to believe the lies of the enemy. But the Bible talks about casting down everything that exalts itself against the Word of God and thinking on those things that are good and right and pure and wholesome and true, right? And so it's that part of recognizing a lie and casting it out and replacing that thought with God's Word. What things are good and right and true? Replace it with God's Word. But here's the trick in that. If you don't know God's Word, how do you replace those thoughts with God's Word? The statistics of Christians that don't know the Word of God is astounding. It is astounding. How many Christians don't read their Bible? I mean, it was something like 90-something percent of Christians only read their Bible on Sunday when they bring it to church. And I'm like, if that's what you do in your life, you will never be victorious. We renew our mind according to God's Word. This is a lifelong battle. See, and I don't think people realize that. People think, why am I still dealing with this? Well, because you're supposed to battle that. It's because Satan has found a way that he can torture you, and he's going to continue to torture you until you tell him you have authority over him. I can tell you that's true in my life. The things in my life where Satan kept attacking me with the same thoughts and the same things over and over again, and I'm like crying out to God, and God said, why don't you take authority over that? Why don't you take authority over that thought by the power of the blood, by the word of the Lamb? Take authority over that thought and tell Satan to leave. Recognize that thought. Take authority over that thought and cast it out in Jesus' name. And I will tell you, in certain areas of my life, when Satan realized that he knew I had authority over that, he stopped attacking me in that area. Because he knows our weaknesses. He knows where we're weak. You know, he studied human nature a long time. Thousands of years, Satan has roamed this earth studying human nature. It says he walks about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. That means that he is walking around looking in your life because he's seeking to devour you. And so if he sees something in you that's lame, if you're a lame deer, he said, I can get that one. They're not putting on their armor. They don't know their word of God. They're not fellowshipping with the saints. They barely attend church. Man, I'm going to attack them right there over and over and over and over and over and over and over. And you fall for it every single time. Because you're in victim mode. Satan knows. He knows. He knows where you are weak. And let me tell you, he's not going to stop attacking you. He's not. The devil's not going to stop attacking you. Just get that in your head right now. The devil's not going to stop attacking you. He's not going to stop trying to get you to just, you know, sit in your corner in the dark and never do anything. Because that's the way he wants all of us. He wants us doing nothing, sitting in the corner in our victim mode, saying, woe is me. You don't know. You don't know. You don't know what's happened to me. You don't know. Listen, I'm not trying to be callous, okay? I know people have been through things in their life. Okay, please hear me in this. I'm not trying to be that. I'm saying at some point, you have got to stop mourning your past. God heals all wounds fully. And we have to change our thinking about that. We can't remain in victim mode. We cannot remain in victim mode, especially if you're going to go out and do big things for God. And I believe that He wants to use every single one of us for His purposes. And it's all on different scales and different areas for different things. But if we're stuck in that victim mode, we're stuck. We're never going to be used. You have to move on. God needs you to recognize that it's time to move. The third thing, Moses is dead. God is doing something new. See, God was fixing to do something new in Joshua's life. So He says, the old is gone. I'm going to do something new. I don't want you to think like you used to think. I don't want you to look at Moses and do the things the way that Moses did them. Joshua, I'm doing something new. The old way is dead. It died with Moses. I'm doing something new in your life. I need you to recognize that I want to do something new. Joshua's calling was not the same as Moses. Why? Because Joshua was a different man. Joshua was a different man than Moses. Moses was meek. He was a stutterer. He was probably pretty shy. He was probably an introvert, right? Joshua was kind of a man of the people, man. He was a mighty warrior. He was a different personality. They were both great leaders, but had completely different missions and different styles of leading. Right? You know, and I'm sure in somewhere in Joshua's head, he's thinking, I got to do it like Moses did. But I don't do it like Moses. Come on, he's human, right? Do we not think that? We're like, I got to do it like Moses did. Moses did it this way. I got to do it just like Moses did. Right? We follow someone great. We're like, I got to emulate them and do what they do. And nothing works out when you do that. How many of y'all know that when you try to follow someone and try to be someone else than what God has called you to do? God let Joshua know that he was not going to do things the old way. See, you are different from others. Every single one of us is different. And you have a different calling. You have different personalities. You have, different characteristics. God wants to use every one of us in a different way. In a different way. And He knows what's best. He knows how it's going to look. I have never seen God use two people in the same way. Never. I've never seen two preachers that are the same, two missionaries that are the same, two evangelists that are the same. I've never seen two moms that are the same. Let's just get it on, you know, that level here, right? I've never seen two moms that are the same, never seen two teachers that are the same. Why? It's because God knows who we are, and He uses every one of us in a different way. He says, I'm doing something new. I don't want you to do it like that. I want to do something new in your life. I want to do something new in your life. God wants to do something new in your life. He makes you unique from others. You have different thought processes, different views, and different actions because you are different. God wants to use you, but He doesn't want to use you the same way He uses someone else. It's going to look different. He's not going to do it the same way He did it last time, right? He wanted Joshua and the Israelites now to be warriors. He's like, I don't want the grumblers and complainers of the desert. Let's just get right that right now. That was the old way. We're not doing that. We're doing something new. I need some warriors. Right? We're doing something new. See, God does not make cookie cutter people. He doesn't make, yeah, praise God. God constantly works in the new. He constantly works in the new. Isaiah 43:19 says, behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? It will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. We're coming into a new season in the church world. When I say church world, I mean in this church age right now. And God has been saying to me this for the past probably 2 years, is that he is raising up Joshuas. He wants a generation of Joshuas that are willing to go out and be bold and take down the enemy and take over the things of God. And he said, I'm not going to do it like I used to do it. I'm going to do it a different way. I'm going to do it new. It's going to be different. It's going to look different in Eva than it's going to look in Jenna. It's going to be different in you. But I'm doing something new. Let him work in your life. Don't fight against it. I can remember after I got saved and literally going back to my past and trying to fix things and trying to make things right. I mean, I was trying to bring these relationships back together that God says, no. That is gone, Crystal. That's dead. You need to let that go. Right? I was trying to do all these things and I would listen to other people about how something's supposed to go or something, and God's like, no. I'm going to do something new. I don't want you to go back the old way. I don't want you to try to do it that old way. I'm going to do something new in your life. Let me do something new. Don't go back and try to redo it. God wants to do it new. I remember when we first started the church, Pastor Matt, if y'all remember, he would preach sermon series, right? And I mean, y'all remember the Rocky sermon series? We had a Rocky sermon. Yeah, oh my gosh. We had a Rocky sermon series. Well, and what we were trying to do is we were trying to do what the other pastors were doing. And it wasn't working for us. We're like, oh, this church is doing this. We're going to do that. And it was like, flop. This church is doing, we're going to do that. And it was flop. They're doing this. And then as soon as God says, do what I told you to do, I'm doing a new thing in you. I don't want you to do it this way. I don't want you to go back to the past. I don't want you to do it like your youth pastor did. I don't want you to do it like your old pastor did. I want you to do it like I want you to do it this way. I want you to do it the new way because I'm doing a new thing. God works in the new. Don't work in the old. He works in the new. The last thing that he said, Joshua, Moses is dead. I am with you. See, God wanted Joshua to know that he was going to go forth. He needed to stop grieving his past. He needed to move on, that God was going to do something new. But God said, like I was with Moses, I will be with you. I will be with you. And that should ease all that fear that says, God, I don't know what that's going to look like. I don't know where I'm going. I don't know. I don't understand. I don't understand that. And God said, it's okay. I'm going to go with you. I'll go with you. I'm going to be with you. In Joshua 1:5, he says, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Woo! Man, that's a strong word. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. You know, and I know that we quote that a lot, but I don't think we actually believe it. See, we like to quote it. We like to put it up in our house, right? I will never leave you nor forsake you. But, you know, it's like, it's a pretty little quote. But do you believe it? Do you believe it? He says, be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide an inheritance, the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. He says, only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And that same promise is for us today. He says, whatever I am asking you to do, wherever I am asking you to go, I will be with you. I will be with you. But you got to step out of the boat. We got to step out of the boat. We got to get out of that victim mindset. Right? You have to get out of that victim mindset. Well, what if I drown? I will be with you. I mean, then you're drowning with God. I don't know. Maybe he'll blow breath in your lungs when you're drowning. I mean, what, you know? I mean, if he went through the fire with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, certainly he can go through the flood with me. Whatever he asks us to go through, he says, I will go with you. It's really not that hard. But you got to step out. You got to go. You got to step out of the boat. And for every single one of us, it's going to look different. I don't know what it is. I don't know what God's asking you to do in your life. I don't know what new season you're coming into. But God knows. He knows what new season you're coming into. He knows what words you need to hear. He knows where you need to go. He knows what past you need to leave behind. He knows what past you need to stop mourning. Let it go so I can do something new. And then you have to step out of the boat and you have to go. God never leaves you alone. He doesn't ask you to go and do it yourself. He didn't say, go and do it yourself. I'm going to stand back and watch. Go ahead. We'll see if you fail or not. He doesn't say that. Well, it's kind of funny when you think about it like that, right? He doesn't say that at all. He says, you know what? I'll go with you. I'll equip you. I'll strengthen you. You don't even have to do it on your own strength. He says, I'll give you the strength to do it. You can't walk. I'll give you strength in your legs to walk. But you got to move them. You know? You got to move them. Are you afraid? Do it afraid. Just do it. Sometimes you got to do it afraid. Sometimes you just got to say, I'm doing it. I'm just going to step out. I don't know what's going to happen. And anybody ever bungee jump? Jump out of airplane? I still want to do that. I want to jump out of an airplane. I don't know if my husband will let me, but you have to do it. You have to step out. Even if you're afraid, you do it afraid. Right? And you get the courage afterwards. You get the courage afterwards. God is with you. You will never know what God is able to do through you if you don't step out. Because it's not of our own strength. It's by his strength. Folks, and God does some mighty things in people. He's used people mightily. But you know, he uses us. We have to be a willing vessel. You have to be willing to go. Amen? Amen. Moses is dead. Okay? Remember that. Moses is dead. Get out of that past. Change your thinking. Get out of that thinking. Step out of the boat and do what God's asking you to do. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. About five after. It's fine. Travis, you don't need to come up. It's fine. No. Father, we just thank you and praise you for this word, Lord. God, I just pray that it goes down in each one of us, Father God, in whatever season we're at, whatever place that we're at, Father God, I pray tonight, God, that we take that word seriously, Father, that we stop mourning our past, Father God, that we step out in those things that you've called us to do, Father, that we realize that our mindsets need to change, our thinking needs to change, Lord, and that you are doing new things in our life, God. There are new seasons upon people, Father God. And I just pray, Holy Spirit, that you come and show us what you need us to do right now, where we're at, what needs to be done, Father God, where we need to go, how we need to change, what thinking needs to change in our life, Father. And I pray, God, that tonight we realize the victory that's been given to us in Jesus Christ, Father. That when Jesus says, it is finished, it is done, Lord, it was done. The finished work on the cross was done, and its work continues throughout all of history. Father, we thank you for that, God. I just pray that you be with us tonight as we go home and get us home safely and bring us back here Sunday, God, to be prepared for the word you have for us, Father. I pray for our families, God. I pray for our finances, Father God. Whatever's coming up, God, you prepare us for this next season, God. Just prepare us for this next season, whatever it may look like. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Get your kids. Church on Sunday. Fundraiser bingo Saturday at 5:30. 5:30, yeah. Yeah. Tip the doorman. Are you the doorman?